Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Memches. We're two lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Rabba and Rabbi Zera iklu lebei Resh Galusa. Rabba and Rabbi Zera both visited the home of the Resh Galusa, the home of the head of the Galus, of the exile, Chazua Lau Avda. They noticed the servant there, the Anach Kuzo de Maya, who placed a container full of cold water, apuma, to kumkuma, on top of a hot kettle. Now this kettle was not on the fire anymore, nevertheless contained enough heat to actually warm up the water within the container above it. Nazhei Rabba. Rabba scolded him. He expressed his disapproval. He may not do so. Amar Rav Zera, why can't he do that? Maishno, what is this different then? Mimecham al gabi mecham. Then placing one kettle on top of the other. As Iran points out, it's masim b'chol yoyim. Everybody does this. One places a kettle full of warm water, hot water on top of another kettle. So why is this case here different than that? Rashi actually points to a brisa at the end of our perek, which tells us that this is mutter. One may place one mecham, one kettle with water on top of another mecham. Amar lei, so Rabbi responded, there's a big difference. Hasam over there, when he's placing a mecham on top of another mecham, ukumikum ukim, he is merely maintaining the heat in the kettle above. Hacha, in our case, eludikum oilit, he's generating heat, he's generating warmth into the cold water contained in the container above the kumkuma, and therefore it's asr. Explains Tosfos, why indeed is this asr? We've learned earlier that one may warm up some water on Shabbos, lahafshir, to merely warm it up, as long as he doesn't heat it up to the point of bishul, to the point of yatzeh ledesboy, where when one's hand touches it recoils. So why is this asr? Says Tosfos, apparently the allowance to bring water to the point of lahafshir, to merely warm it up, is only when he places it in a location where it can't possibly get heated to the point of bishul of yatzeh ledesboy. However, if he places it near a fire, for instance, but he's merely putting it there for a short period of time, he's going to take it away soon, as soon as it warms up, he's not going to let it heat up to the point of bishul. That is not allowed, due to a concern that he might actually forget and leave it there, and it will heat up to the point of bishul. Says Tosfos, in our case as well, this servant placed the container of cold water on top of the kumkuma, which was very hot, although it wasn't on the actual fire. It contained enough heat to radiate heat upwards to the kuza de maya, to the point that it can even heat it up to the degree of bishul. Therefore, even though the servant only intended on leaving it there for a short period of time, only to the point of warming it up, nevertheless it was asr, according to Rava, because there's a concern that he might actually leave it there further, and it might come l'day bishul. Continues the Gemara, Hadar Chazia. So after this happened, Rabbi again noticed this ever doing something else. Hadar Chazia saw the paras, he was spreading over, covering over, dastudar, his turban, apumi de kuba, on the mouth of the kuba, the container, which contained some liquid. So he placed his turban above it, v'anach natla liya, and he placed the natla, this a cup where they would draw the liquid from the kuba with it, or some type of ladle, that he placed it on top of the turban. Okay. Nazhei Rabba. Once again, Rabba scolded him. He expressed his disapproval here as well. Amar Rav Zera, Amai, why are you protesting? What's wrong with this? Amar Lei, so Rabba responded, Hashtachazes. Now you're going to see. Observe him. Let's see what's going to happen. Indeed, says the Gemara, the Soif. Eventually, ultimately, Chazi, he noticed him. The Kama Atzole, that he was actually squeezing out the turban because it got wet. And we know that squeezing a material from its liquid is a melacha. He's doing schita, which is a melacha of melabin. He's cleaning out the material, it's laundering it, so it's a melacha. Therefore, indeed, the Rabbah was right in his concern, that it was justified in his scolding the Eved. You may not do so, because look what it can lead to a malacha. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zera asked him, Maishna bi parunka, why is this case, spreading the turban on top of the container, different than parunka, which is this beged, which was designated, meant to be used as a covering for the barrel. Why in that case is a mutter? And Tosfos brings that actually Rabbah himself, quoted later on in Masechet Shabbos, allows one to spread a parunka on top of a barrel. So why over there is there no concern of schita? Amrle, so Rabbah responds, Hasam le kapdiluya. Over there, he's not particular about it. He doesn't care if the parunka gets wet because it's meant for this purpose. So there's no concern of schita. However, in our case, hacha, kapdiluya, it's his turban. He's concerned that it gets wet, it gets dirty. So indeed, we are concerned that if he places it above this container, it might actually get wet, and he will come to do schita, as actually happened in this case. So in summary, we have two stories in the Gemara where Rabbah, in both cases, expresses disapproval. One was placing the cold water on top of the hot kettle, and number two, placing a turban on top of a container with liquid. Continues the Gemara, going back to the halacha of atmana, of wrapping a pot containing food, wrapping it with different types of materials. The Mishnah listed some materials which are permitted, some which are prohibited. And the Mishnah told us about Tevin, about Zagin, about Muchen. They can be used when they are dry, because at that point they're not Moisef Hevel, they don't generate heat, and one can use them for Atmana. Continues the Gemara, Boy Mine, Rab Ada, Vamasna Abaye. So Rab Ada Masna asked the following halachic Shailov Abaye. Muchen Shetaman Behem. What about these Muchen, which Rashi in the Mishnah describes as cold of a rach, any soft material, unprocessed material, like cotton, like little fibers of wool, or shreds of worn-out clothing. So these are intended to be used to make felt. So certainly they're considered to be muktzah because they're miyuchet from malacha, as Rashi calls them muktzen hein lemalacha v'osel etatla. Okay, so muchen are considered to be muktzah. Now, what about muchen, says the Gemara, muchen she toman behen, if you already used it for wrapping, for insulation, mahu letatlan b'shabbos? Do they become permitted for tiltal? Meaning, although initially they're muktzah, but now perhaps once he used it for atmana, he wrapped with it, perhaps we say, that now they change their status. They're no longer considered to be muktzah because he was miyachad them, he designated them for atmana. They're considered to be a teretz kli. They're considered to be useful on Shabbos. They're meant for shimush of Shabbos, shimush heter. Perhaps the status of these muchen changes merely by using them for atmana once. Now Tosfos asks a kasha. Tosfos says, well, what's the question here? We have a Mishnah in the next daf, on daf mem tes, which clearly tells us that gizei tzemer, shares of wool, are muktzah, and the Mishnah tells us even if they're used for atzmana, if one actually wrapped a pot with them, with these gizei tzemer, they maintain their muktzah status. So what was the most question here? Says Tosfos, there's a difference between gizei tzemer, which are choshev, which are prominent, which have significance much more than muchen, these fibers, which are not as choshev, and therefore indeed the Gemara is a shaila, whether perhaps the fact that you use them for atmana, it changes the status, it changes the designation of these muchen, and perhaps they're not muktzah any longer. Okay, so this was the shaila, muchen that we use for atmana, do they lose their muktzah status? Amar Leisa, Abaye responded, certainly not. V'chimi pnei she'en lo'i kupa shel tevin. Just because he doesn't have right now, at this moment, a kupa, a basket of tevin, of cheap hay, to use for atmana, and he needs to use his muchen, which are more expensive, more valuable, just because he needs to do it, are you going to say, Oimed u'mafkir, he's going to be mafkir, renounce the kupish al muchen? Certainly not. He still intends on using them for levadim, to make them into felt, and it doesn't lose its designation. So just because he's compelled to use it once, doesn't mean that he's miyachad for atmana, and from now on, going forward, these muchen are not destined for levadim, destined for to be used as felt. No, they're still considered to be destined, designated for malacha and their muktzah. Says more leim misayele. Perhaps we have a right to Abaye from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Toinin begizei tzemer. One can insulate a pot using gizei tzemer, wool sharings of betzipei tzemer, combed out sharings of wool." Some flat, Rashi calls it kamin machtzolis mashtichin, some sort of flat, combed out pieces of wool, ubelishon ishlar gaman, combed out tongues of purple wool. So these are okay for hatman. They're not mice of hevel. Ube muchen, one can use muchen for hatman as well. The ein metaltalan oisen. But these muchen, even apparently the brisa means even after he used it for hatmana, they're still muktzah. He cannot be metal to them. So the Gemara here is interpreting the brisa to be referring to after hatmana, even after he insulated with these muchen. Nevertheless, they're still muktzah. So we have a right abaye. Says the Gemara, imishum ha la'iria. If this is your only proof, it's not really a proof. Why? This is what the brisa means to say. If these muchen were not used for atmana, they're ordinary muchen, then they're muktzah, because they're destined and designated to be used for making felt. However, perhaps, if he already used them for atmana, they lose their muktzah status, and one can be metaltan on Shabbos. So as Rashi explains, at this point in the Gemara, we'll interpret the brisa as containing two separate elements. So Rashi here is 15 lines up from the bottom. Rashi says like this. Bereisha Ashminon, the first part of the brisa will teach us, the toimnin behen, that one can use these items for atman. Why the loimai svihavla? Because they're not generating heat, and therefore they're permitted to be used for atman. Vashminon seifa, so this was the ratio, the first part of the brisa. The second part of the brisa teaches us, the stam muchen, muktzes ninu, that muchen, ordinary muchen, are also considered to be muktzah, as we explained earlier, since they're designated to be used, lasos mehen levadim, as Rashi said earlier, to make from it felt. So this is what the brisa is telling us. Two separate elements. Number one, these are the items that are allowed to be used for insulation, for atmana. And number two, you should know that muchen as well are considered to be muktzah. Stam muchen, ordinary muchen, but hani the tamamen, perhaps muchen that were already used for atmana, that's different. Have kimitz, as though sheyichtan lekach, as though they were designated for atmana and they lose their muktzah status. So once again, we try to bring a raya to Abaye from this brisa, and the Gemara refuted the raya. Gemara says no raya from here. Perhaps the brisa discussing the muktzah status of muchen is referring to muchen that were not used for atmana, but perhaps once you use it for atmana, it is no longer considered to be a muktzah item. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the Brisa is merely telling us that ordinary muchen are muktzah, yochi mailam meimra. What's the chiddush of the Brisa? We all know that muchen are muktzah. Why? Because they're designated, they're intended to be used for a malacha, to make from it felt. Says the Gemara, ma'u datema, perhaps I can entertain and think that it's not muktzah. Why? Because chazilim is galayu, since one can lean on it, it's a soft material, can lean on it, and it's useful for a shimush heter. So perhaps it's not muktzah. Kamashmul, yes, the Brisa tells us that muchen are considered to be muktzah since their primary designation is for malacha. So once again, we learned that muchen are muktzah, just like gizei tzemar are muktzah. What about after he used it for insulation? That was the question asked post to Abaye. Abaye responded, no, it's still muktzah. We tried to bring a raya, and we ended inconclusively. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chisda Shari. Rav Chisda allowed Lahaduri Udra to return, to put back Udra. Rashi says this is a muchen. Others say this is referring to feathers. So he allowed to place the stuffing, Levei Sadia, into a mattress on Shabbos. We're speaking about that the stuffing fell out and he allowed it to be placed back into the mattress. Eisve Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda. The Rav Chisda, so Rav Chanan bar Chisda asked Rav Chisda, how could you allow one to stuff a mattress on Shabbos? We learned in the Brisa as follows: Matir and Beisat Tzavar b'Shabbos. One can untie the neck hole on Shabbos. Rashi says, referring to the garment which was given to the koyves, to the launderer, and this laundryman went ahead and tied together the neck hole. Some say he did it to demonstrate to the owner that, don't worry, nobody used it. So he closed up the neck hole on a temporary basis. It wasn't meant to stay that way long term. So one may untie the beis hatzavar, it's not a malacha. But to open it anew for the first time, to break open the neck hole which was sewn shut by the weavers. So that's where they used to produce their clothing, with their beis hatzaver sewn shut. So to open that for the first time is asur. Why? Says Rashi. Why? Six lines on the bottom. Says Rashi, the hashta oved leimana. Because now, when he breaks open this beis hatzaver for the first time, he's actually creating something anew. He's making it usable. He's making this into a kli, into a baget. That is a malacha. Which malacha is this? This is the malacha of makib patish. Makib patish literally means the blow of the hammer. It's referring to any time a person puts the finishing touches on something, on a kli. So it's considered to be a malacha of makib patish. So once again, the braisa differentiates between merely reopening a neck hole which was tied shut by the laundryman, which is mutter, versus breaking open the neck hole for the first time, which is a malacha. Continues the braisa, and this is what pertains to us. Ve'ein noisnin es amuchim. One cannot place this stuffing loy l'sach hakar into a mattress, loy l'sach hakeses, or into a pillow. B'yomtiv, can't do it on yomtiv. Ve'ein tzorach loyma b'shabbos. And needless to say, that is usher on Shabbos. So you see clearly that filling something with filling is asr on Yontif and certainly on Shabbos. Says Mar Loi Kasha, it's not difficult. It's not a Kasha or a Chizda. Haba Chadati, Haba Atiki. It depends what he's doing. The Braisa, which tells us that it's asr, is speaking about a new item. This stuffing was never in there. He's stuffing it anew. He's making it into a mon, into a kli. That's asr. However, in Rav Chizda's case, the stuffing was in there and merely fell out. He's placing it back in there. He's not doing a malacha. Therefore, it's mutter. Tani nam yachi. We have a braisa which supports this. Ein noisnin samuchen. One cannot place the muchen leil sechakar into a mattress, leil sechakeses, or into a pillow. Biyomtiv. Vein tzorach leim b'shabbos. Certainly not on Shabbos. However, nashru. But if the stuffing was already in there and fell out, Machzirin Oisin B'Shabbos, one may go ahead and place the stuffing back into the mattress or pillow B'Shabbos, V'Yitzirach Leimar B'Yomtiv, and certainly on Yomtiv. Okay, so the conclusion is, to stuff something anew is Asr, but to return the stuffing that fell out is Mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, HaBeiseach B'Satzavar B'Shabbos, if one tears open the neck hole on Shabbos, for the first time, chayav chatas. It's a malacha of makav patish, because he's making this into a garment, into a usable kli. Maskalar of Kana. How can you say this is asr? My benzu and begufas chavis. What is the difference between paiseach paisatzavar, which is a malacha, and asr? What is the difference between this and the halacha of megufas chavis, which we learned later in the Afkav and Vav? The Mishnah tells us one can go ahead and slice open the barrel, chop off the magufa, the lid on the chavis on the barrel, to make the content available. So you can go ahead and crack it off. He's also opening up a kli, opening up a vessel, and it's mutter. It's perfectly mutter. Why is that mutter? And poiseach beisat savar, opening this neck hole, asr. Hamalei Rav, the big difference. Zeh chibur, v'zein chibur. The beisat savar is a chibur, meaning we're speaking about one piece of material. When he's breaking open the beis hatzaver, he's tearing it open, he's creating something anew. He's fashioning a baget. He's making it usable. He's taking a garment and making a hole into it. In the case of the chavis, the magufa, the lid, was never really part of the chavis. It was a separate item, a separate entity. So even though now it's firmly sitting on the chavis, it was cemented into place. Nevertheless, the chavis doesn't lose its functionality. It doesn't lose its usability. It's still considered to be an open chavis, even though there's a lid on it. Meaning, the chavis never lost its kli status. It never became really connected and united and bonded with this magufa. It remained its own entity. It was still considered to be usable on a full kli, even though it was covered by this magufa, which was cemented into it. Therefore, in that case, prying it open, slicing it open is okay. It was always a vessel and continues to be a vessel. He's not creating something. Therefore, it's mutter. Now, Tosfos asks on Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, the second line of Rashi says, maybe Adam Chavis umatez es roisha besayif. He can slice off with a sword the head of the Chavis. Umanecha alfnei orach and place it in front of his guests, says Rashi, says Tosfos. If he's slicing off the actual head of the Chavis, he's not only slicing off the, removing the lid. If he's taking off even a piece of the Chavis itself, then why does the Gemara say, ze'ein lechibur? Why do you mean, what do you mean it's not a chibur? He's taking off part of the chavis itself. He's breaking off a piece of the chavis. Therefore, says Tosfos, we're speaking about making a hole in the magufa. We're not talking about slicing off the magufa with the chavis, making a hole in the magufa, in the lid itself. And on that, the Gemara indeed tells us, that's okay, because he's not breaking apart any items here. He's just making a hole in the magufa. By doing so, he's opening the chavis, which was always technically considered to be open. It was never really closed up permanently. And therefore, it is not a melacha. It's different than breaking open this garment, creating a beis hatzavar, which is considered to be making a kli. Now, to answer Tosfos kasha on Rashi, the Mefarshim explain that Rashi holds that even if he slices off part of the head of the chavis, together with the gufa, that's okay. Why? What the Gemara means, the Gemara says, ze'ein echibur, that the lid is not considered to be connected and one with the chavis. What the Gemara means that even though the magufa is cemented onto the chavis, it's pretty firm there. Nevertheless, as Rashi tells us, sharei li notel lamedes, the intention was to eventually remove the magufa. It wasn't meant to stay there forever. Sure, it was cemented on there, but the kavana was, the machshav, the intention was to remove this magufa. So it never really bonds properly with the chavis. It doesn't really fuse with the chavis. And therefore, technically speaking, the chavis is still considered to be like it's open. It's still usable. It never lost its usability, its functionality. It really has this maguf on it, which is eventually going to be taken off. Therefore, Rashi holds that doesn't make a difference if he's just removing the lid or actually slicing off part of the chavis. What is he doing at the end of the day? He's opening up the chavis, which was technically considered to be open all along. Therefore, it's not considered as though he's creating something, fashioning something, and it's not a malacha. So, in summary, we learned several halachas. We began with placing something on top of a mecham, on top of a hot kettle. The Gemara concluded that chamen, hot water, can be placed on top of a mecham. However, a container containing tzoinin is asur. As this is explained, we're speaking about a case where, should he leave it there long term, it can actually heat up to the point of bishul, and therefore it is asur. What about placing a piece of material on top of a container with liquid? So the Gemara spoke about a turban, which is asur, because he's makbid on it, and if it gets wet, he might actually squeeze it out. However, a parunka, which is a beged, specific beged, which is intended for this purpose, therefore it's allowed because there's no concern that it'll go ahead and squeeze out the beged. What about gizei tzemer, shares of wool? That is muktzah. Whether it's plain gizei tzemer, whether he actually used it for atmana, as stated in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes. What about muchen? These soft fibers, materials, they are also muktzah. What about if he used them for insulation? That was the question asked to Abaye, who responded, yes, even then it's muktzah, but the Gemara concluded inconclusively. The Gemara continued regarding the halacha of putting the stuffing into a mattress or a pillow. The Gemara differentiated between whether it's chadash and then it's asr because he's making a kli, or whether it's already, if it's a yashan, was already in there, it fell out, and then he can go ahead and replace it. He can go ahead and put the stuffing back into the kar of the keses. That is not considered to be making a kli. What about opening a beis hatzavar? It depends. If he's merely untying the beis hatzavar, which was tied up by the koyves, by the laundryman, that's mutter. But he cannot go ahead and rip open the beis hatzavar, which was closed during the weaving process when they made this beged, and he's opening up for the first time. That is considered to be fashioning the beged, creating a beged, making something new, making it usable, which is a malacha of makabe patish. Finally, the Gemara told us that a chavet that has a megufa cemented onto it, he can go ahead and remove it. Why? Because he's not fashioning anything. The chavet never lost its kli status. Even though there was a lid firmly attached and cemented onto it, it's not considered to be a real chibur, a real bonding and a real fusion with the chavis. It doesn't change the form, the shape, the status, the usability, the functionality of the chavis, and therefore removing the gufa is not considered to be a malacha. It's not considered to be a malacha makir patish on the chavis. Continues the Gemara. Ramilei Rav Yirmi Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmi asked the following kasha of Rav Zeira. We learned in the Mishnah Tanan shlausel kaifsin, these articles of clothing which were loosely stitched together by the kaifsin, by the laundrymen. So Rashi explains they used to do that so that the small articles of clothing wouldn't get lost. So they would loosely stitch together these articles of clothing. V'shalshala shel maftechos, a keychain containing keys. V'habeged shu'u tofer b'kalayim, or a beged which is sewn together using kalayim. For instance, we have a piece of wool which is sewn together, attached to another piece of wool using thread of pishtan of flax. So in all these cases, we have items which are attached to each other. Says the Mishnah, chibur letuma, they're considered to be one. They're considered to be united with regard to tuma. So for instance, if something tummy touches one of the begadim, which were stitched together by the koyves, we consider it as though the tumah touched the other beged as well. They consider it to be one, bonded, connected with regard to tumah. Until what point is it considered to be together, chibur? Achi yaschal hatir, until he goes ahead and he begins separating these items. By doing so, he's megala, he reveals, he demonstrates that they're not considered to be one any longer. So Rashi points out that although this shalal shel kaifsin, for instance, these articles which were stitched together by the kaifis, this is not a permanent arrangement. As Rashi says, eventually they're gonna go and separate these items, or the beged which was tough of a kalayim, eventually they're gonna separate it. Why? As Rashi says, let's see inside 9 lines from the top. Rashi says, the beged which was sewn with a chutzal pishtan, says Rashi, vaday soifili karoli parit, it certainly is going to be ripped apart and separated. Zemize. Why? Mishum iser kalayim, on account due to the iser kalayim. So it's destined to be separated. So this chibur is merely of a temporary nature. Continues Rashi, v'chein shalal shel kaifsin. These articles stitched together by the laundryman, soifili part, certainly, eventually he's going to go separate them. Afilu achi, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that although it's only temporarily connected, afilu achi, even so, chibur letuma, we consider it to be connected with regard to tuma, v'im nitmazeh, nitmazeh. So if one of them becomes tamei, it's as though they all became tamei. The tuma that touched one, touched all. It's considered as though he touched everything. So the shalal shel kaifsin, it's only of temporary nature. The shalal shel maftechos, there are two separate items, two separate keys, merely stronger on a keychain. Or the beged shel tofer b'kalayim, which is certainly going to be separated due to the issa kalayim. Nevertheless, even though it's a chibur aroi, a temporary chibur, is considered to be one with regard to tum. Until he begins to demonstrate that he's separating them, that they should no longer be considered as one. Says the Gemara, Alma, apparently, Shaloi b'shas malacha na mechibur, even after the malacha, it's still a chibur. What does this mean? Explains Rashi. It's referring back to the shalal shel kaifsin. What was the point of stitching them together? It was to allow the proper washing them properly so they don't get lost. So it had a purpose, it had an intent, it had a kavanah here. There was a specific goal which was needed to be achieved, was the point of washing them. Nevertheless, even after this goal was achieved, the objective was reached, it was already washed. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that these articles are still considered to be mechubar, even though the point of connecting them is over. The reason why he stitched them together is already no longer. Nevertheless, they're still considered to be connected until, as the Mishnah told us, until he actually begins separating them. So once again, Alma, apparently, even after the kibbutz is still considered to be a chibur, even after the objective was already accomplished. So shas melacha means the point, the objective, the goal was already reached. Says the Gemara, is that so? V'raminu. I'll ask you a kasha from the following Mishnah. So this was the kasha, the Rav Yirmiyah, actually this was Zera. How can we say that even after the kibbutz, we still consider these clothing to be attached with regard to Tumah? We find another Mishnah which seems to tell us otherwise. That after the use is over, the chibur is over. Says the Mishnah, makil, she'asoy yad l'kurdum. If one takes a ordinary a stick, which is not makabal Tumah, and he uses it as a makeshift handle for the kurdum, for the axe, chibur l'tumah b'shas malacha is considered to be a chibur with regard to Tumah only b'shas malacha, while in use, when he's actually using the handle. B'shas malacha in, only during malacha, shloi b'shas malacha, but afterwards not. So why, in the case of the article stitched together by the kibbutz, do we consider that to be a chibur even after the point and purpose, objective, was already reached? Amar lei. So Zera responded, let me explain to you. Hasam, in the case of the handle of the axe, shloi b'shas malacha, once he's finished using it, adam asoy, person is inclined, will generally just toss it away. Adam asoy lezork leben eisen. He's inclined to take this piece of wood and toss it back amongst the wood, amongst the pieces of wood. And he does not, generally doesn't hold on to it. Hacha, in our case, of these articles that were stitched together, even shloi b'shas malacha nami, even after he did the laundry, nichale. He's happy, he's pleased with the fact that they're still connected. Why? The imitanfu, perhaps, if they'll get sold again, hada mechavalu, go ahead and wash it again, he won't need to stitch it again. So therefore, we consider it to be a chibur up until he actually demonstrates that it's not a chibur any longer when he begins separating it. But up until that point, we consider it to be a chibur. And if Tumah touches one, it's as though the Tumah touched the other one. Continues the Gemara. So we have this interesting principle, this concept where we have two separate items, two separate articles of clothing, which were merely stitched together on a temporary basis, stitched together loosely, according to this Mishnah, that are considered to be a chibur with regard to Tumah. The Gemara is going to try to find the Mandoama de Shita, the Tana, who this Mishnah, whose Shita this Mishnah reflects. Continues, you are Besura in the town of Sura, Masnul Allah Shmaita Meshmeid Avchiza. They learned the following statement, the following halacha, the following raya, actually, Meshmeid Avchiza. They quoted in the name of Avchiza. People Medusa, however, in the city of Medusa, Masnul Meshmeid Avchana. They quoted the following statement in the name of Kahana. Farmula, some say it was Meshmeid Rava. So what is this statement? Mantana. Who is the author? Hamilsa dam rabbanan. This is the Chacham taught us this principle that kolam mechubar layer kumayu. When we have two separate items, two separate entities which actually don't need each other for functionality or for operation. Nevertheless, when something is connected to something else, kolam mechubar lay hariyu kumayu, is considered as though it is one with the other, and with regard to tumah, we consider it to be one. So who is the shita? Who is this mandama? Who is the the Tana who holds this shita? Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. It's actually Rav Meir. That's not as we find in the Mishnah in Kelim. Beis HaPach, this receptacle of the of this pach. This pach is a container with oil. So we're speaking about a kira. Back to the kira, the stove, the oven, which had some receptacles, which were intended for different reasons. And one of them, they can place the pach, the container of oil, as she says, it was there to warm up the oil. Ubeis hatavel, in this receptacle of seasoning. Ubeis haner, receptacle for a ner. So all these types of these batim, these receptacles, were actually kelim, were considered to be really separate kelim, shebekira, but they're attached to this kira. So they're connected, but they're really separate entities. So we have the stove, and next to it, attached to it, are these receptacles. Are they considered to be united and bonded and one entity with the kira or not? We have a machlekes. Says Rameya, all these things are metamed b'maga, v'ein metamed b'aver. So they are metamed b'maga, meaning if something which is tamed, for instance, a dead sheretz, touches either the kira or any of these receptacles, they are metamed each other. So they're considered to be one unit with regard to tumas maga. V'ein metamed b'aver. However, with regard to tumas aver, if the sheretz only comes into the airspace of the kira, then these klei cheres don't become tamid. The same in the reverse. If the sheretz enters the airspace of this beis hapach, then the kira won't become tamid. So once again, the contra of Meir, only with regard to tumas maga do we consider it to be one entity, but not with regard to tumas aver. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says no, they're not considered to be one entity, not with regard to tumas maga, nor with regard to tumas aver. So you see clearly that according to a mayor, something which is attached to something else, even though it's not vital for its functionality, it's a separate entity, it's a separate kli. Nevertheless, if it's attached to it, it's considered to be connected with regard to tumah. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the Mishnah. Bishleim le Reb Shimon, we understand Reb Shimon Shita, who holds lav kikira damu, that these receptacles, this beis hapach, is not considered to be an integral part of the kira, and therefore there's no relation between one and the other. Tumah touches one, the other one remains tor. Elo the Rav Meir, however, contra Rav Meir, how are we going to understand this distinction between tumas maga and tumas aver? Ik kira damu, if they're considered to be an integral part and parcel of the kira, I feel about aver namely tamu. Even when it comes to tumas aver, they should be considered to be as one. Ilav kikira damu, if you'll say that no, they're not considered to be part of the kira. In that case, I feel maga namu, nami lo mitamu. So even when it comes to tumas maga, let there not be any connection between the two. How can you make a differentiation between maga and aver? Says Umar lo oilam lav kikira damu. Certainly, of course, min atoira. This beis hapach is not part of the kira. V'rabbanan hu degazer buhu. Rabbanan applied a gzera, and they consider it to be a chibur midrabbanan. If so, we still don't understand. Fine, you explain to us that midrabbanan, since these different kalim don't really need each other for their functionality, they're not considered to be two parts of one vessel, they're two separate vessels. So midrabbanan, they're not really connected. Midrabbanan, they consider it to be chibur. So therefore, when a sheretz touches one, the other one becomes tamei. If so, what about aver? If Rabban applied gzera and considered it to be one, afilu ba'aver namil tamu. So even when it comes to tumas aver, let us consider them to be one and connected. Says the Gemara, since it's a tumas Rabbanon, the Rabbanon need to do something different. Avdu b'Rabbanon hekira. The Rabbanon applied some sort of distinguishable feature. They wanted to make a heker, a recognition. Why? So that one will not come to actually burn Truma V'Kachim there on account of this Tuma. The Rabbanu wanted to distinguish this from a Tuma Daraisa, wanted to set this apart from ordinary Tuma, and by doing so demonstrate that it's only Tuma Darabanan. And generally speaking, when it comes to Tuma Darabanan, Truma V'Kachim are not meant to be burnt. So that's why Rabbanu made this difference between Mag and Aver. It was simply meant as a feature to distinguish and to demonstrate the Tuma de Rabbanan, which is different than Tuma de Reis. So once again, according to Rav Meir, we have two items that are mechubah to each other, even if they're two separate vessels, two separate kelim, two separate begadim, that don't need to rely on each other for their functionality, for their use. They're not considered to be two chalokim of unkli. Nevertheless, when they're mechubah, they're considered to be mechubah min derabbanan. Okay, let's make a chazara, a review of what we just learned. So we have two things that are mechubah to each other. What is the halacha? Let's begin with the Mishnah, which gave us three examples. The Shalal Shal Kaifsim, those articles stitched together loosely by the laundryman. The Mishnah gave us another two examples, Shal Shal Shmaf Teichos, the keychain or the beged, which is sewn together with kelayim. The Mishnah told us that it's a chibur letuma, and we know that when the Mishnah tells us chibur letuma, it's strictly for tuma, but not for other things. For instance, fahazah. Let's say if he's going to go ahead and sprinkle the efer paraduma on one of these items, we don't consider the other to be tar. And why is that? Because even according to our mayor, that is considered to be mechubar is only midrabanan, and therefore it only works for tuma. It only works lechumra, and not lekula. We can't say that sprinkling the efer para on one of these articles is tantamount to having sprinkled on the other one. So once again, according to our mayor, the shalal shal kaisim is considered to be mechubar letuma, but not for hazah. The Gemara compared this to the other Mishnah of the Beis HaPach, the receptacle which is connected to the Kira. There too, according to Rav Meir, is considered to be Mechubar. And as Gemara explained, it is a Chibur Midrabanan, therefore, it is only considered a Chibur with regards to Tumas Maga, but not to Tumas Avir. Why? Because Rabbanan wanted to establish some sort of distinguishable feature which will demonstrate that it's only Midrabanan. So this is Shittas Rav Meir, according to Rav Shimon. In both cases, it's not a Chibur, because these are two separate entities. They don't relate to each other at all. We have the case of the makel yad, this makel yad lekardom, this piece of wood which is being used as a makeshift handle for the axe. Once again, according to our mayor, it's considered to be chibur with regards to tuma, only b'shas melacha, during use. Now, according to Rav Shimon, we're actually unsure. Tosis points out that perhaps in the case of the makel being used as a makeshift handle for the kurdom, it perhaps will be considered to be a chibur even according to Rav Shimon, because in that case, the kurdom needs it. He needs it for its functionality. He can't really use the axe without the handle. So perhaps according to Rav Shimon there, we would consider it to be mechubur, just like Rav Meir. It's different than the shalal shal kaifsim, the articles of clothing merely stitched together temporarily. According to Rav Shimon, they're not considered to be united and bonded because they don't need each other, two separate entities. Perhaps by the handle of the kurdom, it will be different. So Taisa says, Shema, perhaps Afilu Shimon Maida, in that case, that is considered to be a chibur because it is necessary for the functionality. Continues the Gemara. So up until now we discussed two separate entities, two separate items, two separate kelim, two separate begadim that happen to be joined together. Now what about if we have one kli, one utensil, that is comprised of two chalakim, two sections, two parts, for instance, a scissors. Tanar Rabbanan, we learned in the price. Mas poyer shal prakim, a scissors which is made of parts. Ve'izmo shal rehitni, a carpenter's plane, which has a blade inserted into the wooden frame. Says Gemara, this is different. Chibur letuma, ve'in chibur lazo. Here, minah Torah, is considered to be mechubur, considered to be one entity, with regard to tuma. Meaning if a sheretz will touch one of these sections, it is considered to be as though he touched the whole thing. However, ve'in chibur l'azah. But this chibur does not apply to the halacha of azah. For instance, if this kli needs to have the azah, the sprinkle of the efer paraduma, he must make sure to sprinkle all the sections. Sprinkling one section really is not enough. Says, well, how do you understand this distinction? Manavshach, how are you going to explain it? If it's considered to be connected and united, afilu hazonami, even when it comes to hazah, it's considered to be one kli. Ilav chibru, if it's not a chibur, afilu tuma nami loy, even when it comes to tuma, don't consider them to be connected. Amar Rava, I'll explain. Devar Torah, mina Torah, b'shas melocha chibur, during the use of this kli, during use, it's considered to be a chibur, because all the parts need each other for the functionality, for the shimush, for the malach of this kli. And therefore, it's entirely considered to be a chibur bonded and one entity, or hazah. And when it's not in use, in that case, any chibur, it's not considered to be bonded and one entity. So once again, during malacha, it's one, completely one. When it's not during malacha, it's considered to be separate entities. So really, there should be no room to differentiate between Tumah and Azah. Because if it's during Malacha, it's considered to be a Chibur for anything. If it's not during Malacha, then it's not a Chibur Matar for anything. However, because the Rabbanon applied Gzeira, Al Tumah Shalei B'Shas Malacha, they said even when it's not during use, we consider it to be Mechubur. Why? Mishum Tumah Shalei B'Shas Malacha. On account of a concern that one might apply the leniency. One might say, well, just like it's not a chibur when it is out of use, when it's shleib l'shas malacha, he might apply that to shas malacha as well and say, well, just like it's not a chibur then, it's not a chibur now either. So if the Rabban applied exer and they said, with regard to tumah, we consider it to be mechubur even when it's not during use. So if a tumah touches one section, the other section automatically becomes tumah. And what else did the Chacham apply? Which other gzera did they say? And they said that even when it's during malacha, we don't consider it to be a chibur with regard to hazah. So you cannot sprinkle one section and have the other one considered sprinkled. No, you have to be mazah on both sections, even when it's during malacha. So in this case, they were machmer as well. Why? Mishum, on account of, a concern of, hazor shalei b'shas malacha. That perhaps one might go ahead and apply this leniency, this halacha, considered to be a chibur, even when it's not in use. Sefer Chacham said, with regard to hazor, with regard to this kula, this leniency of hazor, that cannot be applied even during malacha, for concern that one might apply this kula to shalei b'shas malacha as well. So now we understand the braisa. These items, which are comprised of sections, which are necessary for the functionality of this chayfetz, are considered to be mechubur min ha-Torah, but only when it's actually in use, b'shas malacha. It's considered to be mechubur with regard to tumah, with regard to azor as well. If it's shloi b'shas malacha, then it's not a chibur. The Rabbanu went ahead and said that we're going to be machmir. We're concerned that one might confuse things. The Yevel HaChacham concluded that when it comes to tumah, it is considered to be a chibur, even shloi b'shas malacha. Why? Because otherwise a person might say, if it's not a chibur for tumah, shloi b'shas malacha, he's going to apply that even during shas malacha. He's going to say, well, tumah touched one half, doesn't matter. The Yevel HaChacham said that when it comes to tumah, it is always considered to be a chibur, whether or not it's during use. On the flip side, they said, with regard to hazah, you never consider it to be a chibur, even during malacha, because there's a concern that one might confuse things again and say, well, if it's a chibur during use, during malacha, when it comes to hazah, perhaps he's going to apply that leniency to shalei b'shas malacha as well, even when it's not used, and say, well, you maza on one section, it is tantamount to having you maza on the entire kli, and that's not so. So therefore, the Chacham said, when it comes to tumah, it's always considered to be mechubur. When it comes to hazah, it's never considered to be mechubur. So in summary, we have a kli echad which has two parts. For instance, the ma'aspira shel prakim. So min ha-Torah, b'shas malacha is considered to be a chibur with regards to tumah and hazah. Midrabanan, it's always a chibur for tumah and never a chibur for hazah. Okay, time for a brief chazara on today's blot. We began the daf with a story of Rabbi Rav Zeir, who noticed a servant at the home of the Reish Galusa. And they noticed him doing two things. And as a conclusion, we learned a couple of halachis. And the Gemara continued listing several other halachis. And in summary, the halachis that we learned was as follows. Placing water in a container on top of a hot kettle is allowed only if the water in the upper kettle contains hot water. In that case, he's merely maintaining the heat, it's mutter. If it's tzoyin and cold, it's asr. Placing a material on top of a container with liquid is usur. If it is something that he is makpid on, he might come to squeeze it out. If it's a specific beged which is meant for that, and there's no kpeda there, therefore it's mutter, there's no concern of squeezing. The Gemara continues with the halachas of hatmana, and as Tosfos pointed out, gizei tzemer are always muktzah, whether or not he used it for hatmana. With regard to muchen, they're muktzah prior to hatmana. What about once he was matvin with them? We had a shayla in the Gemara. And Abaye held, it's still considered to be muktzah. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya and refuted it. The Gemara told us that placing the stuffing inside the pillow or the mattress is only mutter if it was already in there and merely fell out. Placing it anew is asr. Opening up a beis hatzaver a neck hole. His mutter is merely untying the neck hole, which was tied by the kaivis in a temporary manner, but to open it for the first time, to break open the beis hatzaver, considered to be a malacha makiv patish. Removing a lid from the chavis is mutter because the chavis is einei chibur. It's not one entity. It's not a part and parcel of the chavis, and therefore removing this magufa is not considered to be a malacha. He's not creating something. He's not fashioning anything. This chavis was considered to be a kli and usable all along. The Gemara proceeded with a halacha of connection, of chibur. So we have two categories. We began with two things that are separate entities, two articles of clothing, for instance, that are merely attached to each other. We have a machlekes, according to our mayor, is considered to be mechubar. As Gemara explained to us, this is a din derabbanan. For instance, the articles of clothing which were loosely stitched together by the laundryman, the shalal shal kaifsin, is considered to be a chibur letuma. So if a tuma touches one item, the other one will automatically become tummy. But this is only for tuma, but not for hazah. What about the beis hapach, which is connected to the kira? That too is considered to be mechubar, but only with regard to tumas maga, not tumas aver. This is Shita's Rav Meir. Rav Shimon tells us, no, they're not considered to be mechubar at all. What about the makil, the stick which he uses as a makeshift handle for his axe? There too, according to Rav Meir, is considered to be a chibur l'tuma, but only during b'shas malacha, because otherwise he's meant to toss it away, and therefore it needs to be during the actual use. Tosfos proposes that perhaps Rav Shimon here will agree that it's considered to be mechubar l'tuma because the axe actually needs the handle for its functionality. Now, it's interesting, Tosfos points out that the Gemara explains why does Rav Meir differentiate between tumas maga and tumas avir. It is to demonstrate that it is only a tuma derabbanan, so that we don't go ahead and burn tuma v'kachim on its account. Says Tosfos, what about in the first case of the shalal shal kaifsin? Where is the distinguishing feature there? What is going to demonstrate to all that is only a tuma derabbanan? So he says it's very simple, because over there, the Mishnah tells us that it's only a chibur l'tumah with regards to tumah, but not with regards to hazah. So we see there's a difference there. There's a chiluk between tumah and hazah. That itself is already a distinguishing factor. That sets it aside from a tumah daraisa, from a chibur daraisa. That shows us that this concept of chibur, of the shalal shal kaish, is only drabbanon. So that's sufficient for demonstrating that it's only drabbanon. However, in the case of the kira, says Tosfos, we can't use that feature of hazah, because a kira, which is a klicheres, never has hazah. The concept of speaking the effort part doesn't apply to it. Therefore, a man needs to find another factor, another way to demonstrate that it is only considered to be a chibur, a tumah darbanon, by distinguishing between mago and aver. And finally, the Gemara concludes with cases of a kli, which is comprised of sections, and they're both needed. They're necessary, vital for the functionality of the kli. For instance, a scissor made of parts, in that case, indeed, the chibur is min ha-toyra. And as the Gemara told us, during the malacha, during use, is considered to be fully connected with regard to tumah, with regard to hazah as well. However, the chachamim were concerned about confusion, and therefore they said that these two sections are always considered to be mechubar only with regard to tumah, and never with regard to hazah.